In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal punishment. Heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, without whose aid and blessing all our work is in vain, we beseech thee, regard thy goodness and our need, and bless us, that in thy name and with a firm trust in thee, we may patiently, cheerfully, and humbly labor in our earthly calling, and as brethren in our congregation, honoring thy holy word and evermore praising thee in all that we do or say, move us to show true appreciation for thy saving grace through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15, and reads as follows. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 410. Our gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and reads as follows. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as this is found on page 22 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 32 to 43, and reads as follows. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, prayer is a very natural fruit of faith. It is sometimes called the breath of faith. And yet we Christians, because of our old Adam, do not pray as fervently and as often as we should. Too often, even when we really need God's help, we don't ask him for help. Maybe because we get so caught up with what's going on that we forget. Or we foolishly think that we can handle things fine without involving God. We always need God for everything. There is never a time when we don't need God. So we should always be praying to him, asking him for help in everything, praying without ceasing. If we do not ask God for help, then we should not be surprised if our endeavors do not meet with success and that he does not bless us. The Apostle James writes, "Ye have not, because ye ask not." Now it is true, thankfully, that God still works all things together for the good of his believing children, even when they, because of their flesh, forget to pray. And then when we look back and see how God has blessed us, even when we forgot to ask him for help, then we should repent of our sin in not praying. And then we should pray right away, thanking him for his grace and blessing. The Bible in many places encourages us to pray, reminds us how God is our loving Heavenly Father for Christ's sake and desires to help us. Our text for this morning is one of those places where we are led to consider how the Lord shows great power and grace to his believing children in their time of need. On the basis of our text, we shall consider in the first place that the Lord is all-powerful and gracious. Secondly, that we should not hesitate to call upon him in the hour of need. And thirdly, he will hear and answer our prayers. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Prior to the more well-known miracle described at the end of our text, we learn of another miracle that was done through the Apostle Peter, obviously with the power of God, in a little town called Lydda. We read at the start of our text, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately." Notice there that Peter made it very clear that it was not his own power, but the power of Jesus Christ that made this man whole, that granted him healing. The apostle emphasized this point in the first place because it was true, but secondly, because it served his overall purpose, the great mission that God had given him and all the apostles was to preach Christ, was to direct people to have faith in the Lord Jesus, not to have faith in the Apostle Peter. Now, the miracle itself would not direct anyone to Christ. However, the words of Peter did just that. With his words, Peter directed Aeneas and all those who heard about this miracle to think about Jesus, the one who actually did the healing. And what was the effect of this miracle coupled with the preaching of the Apostle Peter? Our text says, "And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him," namely the man who had been paralyzed, "and turned to the Lord." The miracle done in healing this man that was sick of the palsy demonstrated God's power and grace to poor sinners in their physical needs. And the message of the gospel that was preached by the Apostle Peter promised the power and grace of God given to poor sinners in a much greater need, the need that all sinners have, the need of forgiveness, God's grace, life everlasting in heaven through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, you and I have experienced God's power and grace throughout our lives in many ways, more than we can even count. Even the bare fact that you and I are Christians is evidence of God's power and grace in our lives. That was a mighty miracle of God's grace that brought you and me to a saving knowledge of Jesus through the gospel. That is not something the power of man can even accomplish. If left to ourselves, we would continue in unbelief and finally end up in hell as the just punishment that we have earned by our sins. But thankfully, in Christ Jesus, our sins are all forgiven. And by the faith worked in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, we receive God's grace and forgiveness and can look to God as our dear, loving Heavenly Father. Now, as our text continues, we are introduced to a Christian woman who lived in a town called Joppa. Her name was Tabitha. That was her Aramaic name. The Greek form of her name was Dorcas. This woman showed her faith in the Savior through various works of Christian charity, and the congregation of believers in Joppa benefited very much from her works of love. We read, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." The word alms deeds refers to gifts of love done for the poor and needy, widows are specifically mentioned later in our text. Now, the Lord in his great wisdom had chosen to take away Dorcas for a brief period of time. Our text says, "And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber." Tabitha's death occurred for a very special reason, and not the normal reason a Christian dies. The normal reason a Christian dies is God is delivering him or her from all the pain and agony of this life and taking the Christian home to be with him forever in heaven. But in this case, the purpose was not to really keep Tabitha out of his earthly life. It was just to remove her temporarily and allow the glory of God to be demonstrated in bringing her back. This was the same purpose that God allowed Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, to die. We're told in John chapter 11 that this was not done so that Lazarus would just die, but, as Jesus says, for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. When Tabitha first became sick, the Christians in Joppa likely prayed earnestly, fervently, that the Lord would heal her. But instead of healing her, God allowed her to die. But the Christians in Joppa still had hope. The reason why the Christians in Joppa did not immediately bury Tabitha, but instead, as our text says, laid her in an upper chamber, was that they knew the Apostle Peter was very close. He was in the nearby town of Lydda. And they also knew that if it was God's will, Peter, by the power of God, could bring Tabitha back. Our text says, "And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them." The example of the believers in Joppa is a good one for us Christians to keep in mind and to follow in our hour of need, even when things seem helpless for us. Things are never too helpless for God to be able to bring his power and grace in order to work it for our good. We do not always see the good, but it's always there. If we would be able to extract ourselves from our current stressful situation and look at it objectively, it would probably be easier for us to see some of the good that God has designed even through the hardships, the crosses that he lays upon us. But even if we cannot see the good, we know, based on the promise of God, that, as he says in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God. Likewise, in Lamentations chapter 3, we are told, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." That is what we are to do. That is what the Christians in Joppa did. They had hope, and they quietly waited for God's help. Now, having received the message from the brethren at Joppa, the Apostle Peter wasted no time in coming there. We read in our text, "Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Dorcas had obviously been greatly loved and appreciated by all the members, but the widows are especially mentioned. They benefited from her works of love. They showed Peter the clothes that Tabitha had made for them. And now they were weeping. Peter did not rebuke the widows on account of their weeping, but he did have them leave the room in order that he might pray to God undisturbed. Our text tells us, but Peter put them all forth, which means got them out of the room, and kneeled down and prayed. The words of Peter's prayer are not recorded in the scriptures, so it is not something that God chose to reveal. It's not something we need to know. However, what is clear from our text is that God answered his prayer. And because of the way that the apostles were in communion with God, knowing the Lord's will, Peter knew that it was God's will to bring Tabitha back. Accordingly, we read in our text, and turning him to the body, Peter said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now, obviously, no human doctor could have done that. But the power of God had no trouble bringing back a dead person to life. This is just one of many examples in Scripture that show what Jesus taught his disciples during his earthly ministry, namely, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And again, for with God all things are possible. So, as was mentioned earlier, we should never doubt God's ability to help us, no matter how helpless the situation might seem to us. The same God who raised Tabitha back to life is the all-powerful God that you and I have access to in our prayers and have the promises of his love and gracious answers to our prayers for Jesus' sake. And as was mentioned earlier, Jesus has already done a similar miracle in our lives. The Bible describes when God brings a person to faith as a kind of resurrection or quickening, because by nature, we're all spiritually dead in unbelief, completely helpless. But when the Holy Ghost brings us to faith, we're made spiritually alive. God takes those who are dead and makes them alive through faith in Christ. You and I as Christians have already experienced this. And we must confess that we do not deserve that or any of God's great blessings, because we were terrible sinners before our conversion, and even after our conversion, we're still sinful creatures. By our sins, we only deserve God's punishment. And yet God shows us so much love, grace, power given to us for our good. And all that's for Christ's sake, because of what Jesus did as our substitute. Though we break God's commandments more times than we can know, Jesus kept all of God's commandments perfectly as our substitute. And though we only deserve God's punishment and hell, Jesus already took that punishment upon himself when he died on the cross. He suffered hell in our place to earn for us God's grace and everlasting salvation. Sadly, most people in their unbelief reject God's saving grace. Jesus died to save all mankind, but the vast majority of people still die in their sins and go to hell. And remember, you and I would also reject God's grace by unbelief if the Holy Ghost had not overcome that stubborn unbelief and brought us to faith. So thankfully, by faith in Christ Jesus, all of our sins are covered in Christ's robe of righteousness. And we stand before God as his forgiven saints, as the Christians are called in our text. As we would expect, this great miracle, the news of Tabitha's resurrection, spread throughout the area. We read, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner." Again, it wasn't the miracle itself that brought anyone to faith in Christ Jesus. The miracle itself doesn't teach anyone about Jesus. But the miracle did cause people to pay attention to the preaching of the gospel. And through the preached word, through the mouth of the Apostle Peter, many people were brought to know the Lord Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost was brought to them through the preached word. And so it is with us Christians today. Yes, we see the miracles of God in the Bible. Those miracles themselves are not the focus of our faith, but they remind us that God does love us and takes care of us with his power and grace for Jesus' sake. The gospel assures us of God's love in Christ Jesus and also promises that a very similar miracle as we see with Tabitha, will be done for you and me and for all the dead on the last day. All those who have died in the saving Christian faith, whose souls have already been taken to heaven, their bodies decay in the grave, but they will be resurrected and glorified on the last day, reunited with their souls. And then all the believers will, in both body and soul, live with Christ forever in heaven. Jesus is, for us, the resurrection and the life. So we have no need to fear death. Christ is our champion over death. So let us rejoice, knowing that we Christians have God's love throughout this life. Even in the hour of death, God will be by our side. He will resurrect our dead bodies on the last day and bring us safely home to heaven for Christ's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear Lord, thou hast entrusted to us abundant earthly blessings, and dost require that we use them wisely as faithful stewards and caretakers. We now ask thee to bless these our offerings for thy work among us. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord of all power and grace, hear the prayer of thy people as we come unto thee in thankfulness and praise for the mercies which thou pourest down upon us anew each day. We praise thee for the gift of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send into the world to be our Savior and Redeemer. Grant that we may believe in him with all our hearts and trust only in him for our salvation, and cause our faith to show itself in works pleasing to thee and in harmony with thy word, obeying thy commandments with a pure mind, loving thee with a true heart, and serving thee with a willing spirit. We remember before thee, O Lord, our great sinfulness and wretchedness from our mother's womb, and we repent of all our daily transgressions in thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. Consume us not in thy wrath, but out of thy great compassion for Jesus' sake, forgive us all our iniquities, that we may know the joy of thy salvation and live out our lives in this world to praise and honor thee and to bear witness of thee before men. Defend and preserve thy servants wherever they may be suffering for thy name's sake. We especially remember before thee our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. In thy great power and grace, replenish them in faith, strength, and courage through the promises of thy love and mercy in and through thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And in order that the pure teachings of thy word may continue in our congregation and the other congregations of our conference, for us, for our children, for their children after them, provide us, dear Lord God, with a future ministry. Help us to find men who are neither afraid nor ashamed to be trained for the pastoral office in our seminary, that they may hold fast the faithful word as they have been taught, and be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who teach contrary to thy word. Continue graciously to uphold Pastors Leitz and David T. Menzing, granting them health and strength according to thy good pleasure. We thank thee for blessing the operation to put a drainage tube in Pastor Leitz. If it be thy will, grant that it may help prevent the fluid from building up in his right lung, and bless him with a full and thorough recovery. And as we are but pilgrims and strangers in this present world, hold us all by the hand and bring us at last to our heavenly home. We ask these petitions in the name of Jesus, and in his name we also now pray for our communicants. Dear Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.